go. The Beatitudes. And to one Beatitude in particular, as we have it in verse 9, Matthew 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And so the title is this: Peacemaking, a High Calling. Peacemaking, a High Calling. Well, were we to have followed the train of our Lord's thoughts as he opened his mouth and began to speak to the disciples, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and what he develops at the beginning are the attitudes of heart, the attitudes in our inner being that are attitudes that he loves and that he blesses, that as we come to him with poverty of spirit, not trusting ourselves, not asserting ourselves, then he promises there's the kingdom of heaven. As we mourn over our sin, what we are, what we should be, what we're not. But again, there is promise to us, meekness, desire to be holier than this, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that we believe that we're not the completed article. We've got a long way to go. And we want to get there. We want to be Christ-like. And we hunger and we thirst after this. We're agitated within, not in that way at rest, because we know there's a lot of ground still to be taken. But we believe that he'll help us to take it and to conquer sin. We hunger and thirst. And as God works within the depth of our being and imprints upon us Christ-likeness, then we must be merciful. We've received mercy. We show mercy. And it's one of the central features and characteristics of a child of God, that they'll be merciful. And as our Lord develops it further, purity in heart, that will be something so valuable in our relationships with each other, that there'll be a transparency, an openness, that we're coming to each other, not in a deceitful way, not as sort of hypocrites, but with a reality of love, tenderness. And so he develops it further, that we'll also be peacemakers. That is what will arise out of people who've been mastered by the word of God, mastered by the example of Christ. Merciful, surely, and we'll be pure in heart, surely we must. But then when it comes to our activity, because here it's moving, isn't it? Out of our inner being, our inner attitudes, what our heart's about, to what we're about as we go out into the world. That we're actually peacemakers. That's our calling. To be in the world, beyond us here, outside of our fellowship as believers, as we face out to a falling world. We're to be peacemakers. And that's the result of a pure heart. That's the result of meekness. That's the result of our own knowledge of ourselves, poverty of spirit. Because we identify with the people out there. That's their need. That's what they need to be made aware of. And so to them we go. So my first heading: our impact on the world. Our impact on the world. Because it's a challenge to our aims. What are we looking to be? What are we looking to do in the world out there? And scripture is our guide. What are peacemakers about if we find that that's part of our commission? Well, we've read it also in Matthew 5, and just reading from verse 13, you're the salt of the earth. We're told that. But we're then warned, but if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. There's something positive to hear there, isn't there? Our effect on the world, our impact. Well, we're to be a healing presence. We're to be arresting the decay and decline which any society that walks away from God inevitably will experience. But what else? We're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp, put it under a basket, put on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So then, there's something that we give to a dark world. There is knowledge that we impart. There is truth that we are to give. And to be a city set on a hill, not an invisible city, if you can imagine it. We're not to kind of place ourselves in some deep valley where you can't see it. You know, I travel along and there's Wirksworth down in the valley there. I guess you could miss it if you weren't looking for it. You can't miss a city that's on a hill or a town that's up there. It's going to be seen. And we're to be visible. We're to give light. Not convey darkness, of course, but to give light. And similarly, we are to be a lamp that's on a lampstand. Because there's no logic. It's absurd if you're going to have a lamp and then put it under a basket. That defeats the whole object. And we have an objective. Believers, we're to be light. We've got knowledge. We have experience to share with a fallen and dark world. And our Lord places that before us. And that is all part of our peacemaking, actually. The light that we bring, the healing benefits, salt at its best, that brings are all part of our commission. In that respect there, we look to those very familiar words right at the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, reading from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And we could read elsewhere that within our calling, and that commission to go and teach them all things that I've commanded you, that peace is somewhere within that. Our work of peacemaking. And Romans chapter 12, verse 18, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Or in Hebrews, and there in chapter 12 of Hebrews, and verse 14, as I turn to it, and we are told there, "Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, that which no one will see the Lord." The light that we bring, the salt that we introduce into this world that we are sent, as we come with peaceful hearts, peaceable spirits, is our calling and is the impact that God, through his people, would make upon a fallen world. And there's a promise, isn't there? That we'll be called sons of God. Now, it's not as if fulfilling of our commission to go out into this world, and we'll see in what sense we'd bring peace in a moment, but to go out into this fallen world, it's not as if a voice comes from heaven and tells you that you are a son of God. No. And it's not as if before that you weren't a son of God. Because actually, if you're a believer, you're already a son of God. You're his child. You're adopted. But it will mean that in your very soul, there will be assurance. There will be a comfort. There will be a confirmation. You are a son of God. You belong to me. You are mine. When I make up my jewels, you are there. You are part of my crown in that way. And that truth doesn't just remain a truth. Something we say, "Oh, we're sons of God." Yes, we believe in that adoption. Yes, we do. We feel it. And we feel the Lord saying it in the very heart of our being. That's who you are, and you're mine. and I love you. And that is very, very precious and a wonderful, wonderful promise. And so as we go to make peace, as we take that light which is healing, and it's like the salt there that heals, as we seek peace with all men, and in the best sense in a moment that we can, doesn't mean we're social justice warriors, to kind of use the kind of terminology of the day. That's a virtuous thing in the eyes of many, to be a social justice warrior. In other words, you're going to put all the wrongs to right. You're going to find out who are the oppressed people around these parts, and we're going to do something for them. We're going to get governments on side in changing things, and all those people discriminated against and marginalized, we'll put the world to rights for them. Except the people who are doing that are very wise in working out what's going on in society. And who are the victims? And who are the marginalized? And they have a way of producing a whole load of new victims. And often Christians seem to end up becoming the victims of their efforts to put things right. Because they then want to stop all the people that they think are the bad people doing the wrong things. And lo and behold, friends, that becomes us, doesn't it? And they put us on the wrong side of history there, and so they tell us. It doesn't mean that we're looking to, for the sake of building big churches. So many people out there who are wanting influence, but influence where there's no salt. Influence actually where there's not much light. An influence where they're not doing over much peacemaking. Well, the Anglican Church, sadly, the General Synod, sadly, over these last days is passing resolutions and reckoning that things can change, and all the kinds of things and sexualities out there are all okay. And I was just looking, one of the larger churches, I'll forbear from mentioning which one it is, you might work it out, though, it's in London, and has a big platform. And yet, their fairly newly appointed vicar has all signed up to the new way of thinking, and is all ready to do that. Wow, there's big influence, that's what a hill that place is, in that way. There's plenty going on there, plenty of noise and in theory, light, that it could spread far and wide. Except it's not going to. And it's signed up to the things that at the moment are causing us a little bit of distress and grief, lost its way. Or that if we're busy, that somehow that'll be enough. That's to be salt, that's to be busy, and there's light that we're producing. Except sometimes we're producing more heat than light, and there's a lot of energy there, so we may be wiser using in other ways for the glory of the kingdom of heaven. So we're wanting before God to fulfill what we are reading here, to be peacemakers. So what is it we're to be about? How do we bring glory to God in this? How do we fulfill this high calling? Second heading, the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Now that is really telling us everything. That this gospel that is entrusted to you and me, that the world could stand up and preach it, doesn't know it, but we do, because it affected you, it affected me. And it brought peace between us and the most essential person in the universe to have peace with, God, a holy God. A just God, a wonderful God, a loving God, but one who is offended at our sin and our unrighteousness, who will judge our rebellion, our disregard for him, our haughtiness. We had that word, didn't we, in Psalm 131, being haughty and being lofty, that we think ourselves above God, above the need of God. And God takes offense at that. And we need to be brought to a state of peace. We are enemies of God by nature. That's what we are. We are fighting against him. We are at war with him. And he has the last word in this war. And he will judge the rebellious. He will bring their efforts. And if we're still fighting against him, dear friend, Put down your arms, you will find at the last day that he will repay, and his payment will be condemnation, and it will last forever. So there is a war we're fighting that is quite futile, but a war that can end, and that it is God who has done everything necessary to bring human beings from a state of rebellion into a state of fellowship, friendship, peace with him. But that is what he has sent his son to do. Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, well, 2 Corinthians, let me just turn to that, to chapter 5 and verses 18 and following, where the apostle Paul writes the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and puts it in a context of peace. Peace being brought between an offended God and offending people. It reads as such. Now, says the apostle Paul, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Reconciliation. That's when those who are at odds with each other, not at peace with each other, that there are not comfortable communications, but their absence. That's where the apostle is saying, through the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciliation. Bringing those who are at odds with each other into harmony and into happy communication and into a state of being where there is comfort and where there is encouragement, everything that you don't find when they're at war with each other. And that is what our Lord Jesus Christ does. That is what happened when he came, that he knew no sin because he's perfect, Son of God, divine nature, perfect human nature, one person, our Lord Jesus Christ, but he was made to be sin, as though he was a sinner. He was punished for people who are sinners, even though he isn't a sinner, but that's what he came to be, to represent us in that place, to die in the place of people who they themselves deserve that death. That message, Paul calls it, this message, he says, this message, this word of reconciliation has been committed to us, has been committed to people like us. Friends, this is peacemaking. Imploring people, beseeching people, be reconciled to God. This message of peace, it contains everything needed for a man, for a woman, for a young person who is at odds with God, because our sins separate us from him, but through Christ giving up his life, dying upon the cross, his blood shed for our sakes, then closes the gap and reconciled, brings together God and man, that now there is happy communication. We pray to him, call him our Father in heaven, and we can and we should, because that's what he now is to us. We have therefore a sense of our acceptability because of what our Lord Jesus has done. We approach him, we can speak with him and speak of him, and have the deepest comfort that we can know, that indeed our sins are not imputed to us, they're not made ours to have to carry and own and bear the guilt of. The Lord Jesus did that instead, took away that guilt, took away the punishment, and left us instead to be sons of God. And that is what we have. Oh, we have everything. We have everything. We're at peace with God, and we know the message that brings peace to men and women with their Maker and their Judge, and we've been entrusted with it to go and to speak it. That's our high calling, and that's our wonderful calling, the commission that we have, Oh, we know the people out there, we know what they're like. But we also know this, that they're perishing and they're dying. And they have nothing, absolutely nothing. Oh yes, I was on my way there. I mean, where do I park my car? I should park it behind bushes and walls so you don't see it. It's rather an ancient car. And I stopped on the way. I heard some noise or other there to make sure the wheel hadn't fallen off. And wow, somebody stopped. They're very kind of them, actually, to ask, was I okay? Well, this was a vehicle. A vehicle's there. But anyway, I didn't need it. And wow, he was gone. Acceleration there. The likes of which I couldn't manage in mine. Gone. He's not going to church, I don't think. And maybe wondered at me, my suit and tie on, where I was about, where I was going. He has nothing. He has a bigger car than I've got. Probably ever will have. Maybe never than you'll have. He's got nothing. And he hasn't got Christ, and therefore he hasn't got peace with God. There it is. And you and I have that. And how ready we should be to share that. And not just because we have my good friend Paul Linnell from the Open Air Mission with us and bring these wonderful tracts and things, but have something to hand, have something ready to give. Willing to be out there in Shrove Tyne, hopefully it's not pouring with rain or anything like that, and be able to give something to somebody there. And who knows, we all go about our work, don't we, there under God? I don't know whether this person will believe, we don't know. Give him something, give her something, and we'll await God there for the results. Friendships we have, people that we can speak with. I don't go about this sort of plan and illustration to be able to come on a Sunday and get it, but well, there I was at home working, and I have to admit, I do have a few cups of coffee through the day, and stood at the kitchen there, so the kettle was boiling, noticed two people over the road. These people were Jehovah's Witnesses. So right, where are my tracts? I've got a few of those ready there, and prepared for them, and I hope warmly greeted them. And got into a little bit of conversation with them. Of course, they then knew that we have a big difference about the person of the Lord Jesus, and a big difference about the centrality of him, and they smiled politely, but they took some literature from them, and well, there we are. I had some literature to hand to be able to give, be prepared. And who knows, I prayed for these two women, very affable, and very amiable, and actually very respectful to the things that I believed, but of course they're lost, and we pray such people may yet be found. There we have it. We have a responsibility to discharge towards them, and we have to be ready, don't we, for the moments which will always come when you don't expect it, to be in a conversation with somebody about the things of Christ. And if we're walking with him, and he's near to us in that way, near to our thinking, we're not having to retrieve our testimony from some kind of part of our mind's filing cabinet where it's a bit inaccessible. Where did I put that? Looking for something the other day there, my filing system. Now, where did I put that? And I always have this sort of sinking feeling and rummaging through, and I've put it in some unlikely place. Now, our testimony. And it shouldn't be what he did when he brought us to faith, but what he's doing to us now since we've come to faith. And there's still things he's doing in us. It's actually rather exciting and rather dynamic and all. Very, very surprising what he's doing. But to be able to speak about him, because there's something we've got near to hand, ready to speak about, that we haven't got to look far in the filing cabinet of our mind. Ah, yes, there's something here. I've got something to tell you. And that we would have something current that is there. Gospel of peace. What a message it is. Oh, the sadness. We go out in the open air. I'm sure when you go out and reach to people, and they don't listen. My friends, and we were just talking before the service there. We're about a good work when we do that work of being salt and light, bringing the knowledge of that gospel of peace to needy souls. But I want to move on to my third heading. People of peace. People of peace. Part of what this build up in the Beatitudes that brings us to our calling, to our responsibilities to the world out there, is that actually there is peace within our hearts. That we are a people who are at peace. Psalm 131, which we read earlier. And these wonderful words that are spoken here by David. Verse 2, surely I have calmed, quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Well, that's a state of mind. That's a state of heart. That sounds very, very good to have that. And of course, just earlier he said about things that are too great for me, I don't worry myself with those. There's lots we don't understand about the predestinating work of God, his election. Lots we don't understand about it. But we understand, we love. And what we know about him, we are happy to speak about. And we've calmed ourselves, we've quieted ourselves with that which is something that is part of the mystery of God's sovereignty. And we're at peace within our hearts. In James chapter 3, contrasting the wrong kind of wisdom that is no wisdom with the wisdom that comes from above. Let me read of that. James 3 verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's the word peace, and indeed you can find quite a few of the Beatitudes in those words of purity and of gentleness and mercy. Yes, that's the kind of life of the Beatitudes that is heavenly wisdom. That's what God by his Spirit imparts into the soul. That thought of peaceableness, that there is a war within us because sin hasn't sadly finally been defeated when we believed. We have a new nature if we're Christians, surely. But we have remnants of the old man, the old person, pre our conversion, with our opposition and our rebellion. Somewhere there's still a battle that's being fought, somewhere within our being, against God. But it's wonderful that he helps us to become truly who we're meant to be, and to win those battles, and to subdue and mortify, put to death the flesh. That argument against God that still continues within. And what will we be as a result? Oh, we'll be pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And then when we go out there to make peace, well, we're sowing the fruit of righteousness in peace. We're creating peace, if you will, because so as we go out into that world, as we have our commission and our high calling, well, the more that within that battle against sin continues to be won by us, and instead now we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are full of good fruit, peaceable people, not angry people, not hostile people, not on edge kind of people, if you like, comfortable with who we are before God, and they're comfortable with what he's doing, as he sanctifies and changes us. And we go to him not looking stressed and tense, and as if somehow we don't quite believe what it is we're saying, but because God's doing something in us, it just gives us an extra enthusiasm, even joy, to be able to proclaim him to the people that are around us. And that they realize, perhaps, these people have been with Jesus. Look what he's done. That they're not angry. So many people out there think we're angry, don't they? They think that I'm here, I'm full of hate, I'm an angry, angry person. Well, I tell you this, I sometimes can be crosser than I should be. And I'm sure my heart at times is hostile when it shouldn't be. But by and large, we're not out there haranguing people, I think. By and large, we're coming across to people there gently and willing to listen and to yield to them and to hear what they have to say and then to answer them. And that is being peacemakers with peaceable hearts. that we're living actually advertisements for the message that we preach, that we believe we have peace with God, that we have everything actually in Christ. And we can go to people, hostile people, people who may not begin by wanting to heal us, perhaps by the end they might, because there's something, there's light within us, there is something happening within us, because yes, God is at work in us, and we speak of him to others with a heart that is gentle, loving, enthusiastic, and joyful because of the work of sanctification that is happening. We want to be at peace with people. We do not like the fact that they oppose God. We feel it. We're not feeling it as much as we should feel it, but what little we can feel it, we feel. And we want there to be peace. We want there to be peace in the wider world. We want wars to end. We want neighbours to get on with each other. We want workplaces not to be places of strife, but places of peace. You know, actually, the best way that that's going to be accomplished is for the gospel to be preached and to be believed. And we want, in our own personal relationships, to have peace. To ensure that we're not the cause of trouble anywhere. And if others have been the cause of trouble to us, that we are gentle with them, ready to hear their apologies, ready to restore friendships to what they perhaps used to be, or make them better than they've ever been. Because we are ready to forgive, and we're willing to be gentle in that way. So peacemaking, a high calling that asks of us to, yes, prioritize who we are, what we're to be in this fallen world as Christ sends us out into it, but also to be becoming within more at peace with each other, more at peace within our own soul. We are governing it, we are ruling it with the help of the Holy Spirit to overcome the anger, the hate that can come, the fears that can be there, and that God will win victories in us, making more and more peace within us, that we'll be peaceful people as we go out with this wonderful message, word of reconciliation, this message of peace from heaven to a fallen world.